How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Very busy day, as always, here on Tuesday. Last night was WWE Monday Night Raw. We're going to be looking for your thoughts on Raw, as well as how they handled the Roman Reigns situation, which was, in fact, them coming out at the beginning of the show and announcing that he was suspended, but still in the match. And Seth Rollins talked about how he didn't deserve to be in the match. Dean Ambrose said, the man made a mistake. He has no time machine. What more can the guy do? As far as I'm concerned, he's still in the match. So, he's in the match, he's still suspended, and he's still a babyface. We can talk about that here on the program today. We've also got a lot of news, and we will have a guest on the program. Jeannie Clark, the former wife of Stone Cold Steve Austin, has got a new book out, which has got a lot of great reviews on Amazon.com. It appears that right now it's only available via paperback. So we're going to talk to Jeannie about her career, her book, and so much more. That is coming up here on the show today. For those of you that watched Raw last night and saw the very interesting segment with the Wyatts and the New Day, which I have to say, going in, I was expecting this feud to be an utter disaster. And it actually turned out okay. In fact, it's turned out great so far. Wyatts are still scary. They're not doing goofy comedy. The New Day is trying to be the New Day, except for Xavier Woods, who is very, very concerned about this situation. He thinks this is no joke, and it appears he's not happy with his buddies making a joke out of this whole thing. But anyway, the whole Wyatt family is going to be appearing on SportsCenter tonight. They are the guests of Jonathan Coachman on the WWE segment on SportsCenter. That should be interesting. That's coming up tonight. You can check that out. We've got lineups for WWE in Japan and so much more. And we're going to kick it off after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to talk about Raw here today. And later on, we will be joined by Jeannie Clark, who's going to be talking about her new book, Through the Shattered Glass. You can check it out on Amazon.com. If you're listening to the podcast, there is a link to it on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com in the link to this show, so you can check that out. And we'll talk about all sorts of things with her. The book is available in paperback only at this point. We'll talk to her about whether there is a Kindle version coming. But first, we have Raw. Raw show last night, they did, in fact, as noted, announced Roman is still in the match. He's still suspended, and he's still a babyface. Are you shocked, Mike?
I'm amazed. I'll be more shocked.
Are you really amazed?
A little bit, yes. A little bit. I'm happy that they actually mentioned it, because it is such a looming thing, and it's one of those things that, because of who it is and how he plays a part in your next upcoming match, you can blur the lines of reality and showtime, and I'm glad that they did. How they did it, I thought was great. Why they are so insistent on keeping Roman Reigns a babyface, I don't know. It made Dean Ambrose come off sounding like a fool last night, where it's just like, no, I mean, come on, dudes. It's like, seriously, like, Roman's still in the match, all right? Like, you know, it's just, if he doesn't turn on Dean Ambrose and cost him the title to Seth Rollins, which I think would make some sense there. If he doesn't do that at the pay-per-view and become a mega heel, I don't know what
to
say.
This is other the problem with all of your hope.
I know, but it's already to a cartoonish stage. It's like, if
yeah, that's why it's awesome.
But okay, what point do you think they get with him? Like, what other person can we compare to from the past where it's like, they keep pushing this guy as, I mean, is he George Gulis?
He's John Cena.
No, he's not John Cena, because John Cena actually had the Doctor of Thugonomics thing and all that sort of stuff.
No, I'm talking about, he's a guy. John Cena was booed for years and they just stuck with it through thick and thin. I got to tell
you, that reaction is so much more, it's so much different, and it's so much different business-wise than comparing it to Roman Reigns. I mean, Reigns is closer to George Gulis than he is to John Cena in your scenario.
Listen, I got to tell you, I have fallen in love with Roman Reigns as a babyface. Person here texted, by the way, Did anybody else hear some woman yell out, "He's still hot, though," about Roman during Seth's promo last night? Yeah, the big dog. Listen, I love it now. I don't want the guy to ever turn heel, I've decided, because every week on television, they've got some new wacky idea to try to get the guy healed, to get the guy cheered. He failed a wellness test, and they're trying to turn that into a scenario where he will be cheered. This is awesome.
Do you remember when the referee, Tim White, they did a series of things where he kept trying to basically off himself, kill himself? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that sucked.
It was horrible, but like essentially you're saying you want them to do the same thing with Roman Reigns, except have like a new gimmick every week.
Maybe they already are.
Al Snow could come out and they could do head cheese. Mick Foley could come out with Mr. Socko or something like that. Every week we're going to try to do something to get the big dog.
That's what they're doing. Over. And now it's growing on me.
Oh, like what?
I mean,
like
come
a tumor?
On. Listen, the guy's not going to turn heel. So we have to just embrace.
Why?
We just have to embrace the entertainment factor of them coming out every week.
Embrace
and
the
trying
waste.
To find some way to get the guy cheered. They won't give up. Hey, listen, this is John Cena personified. Never give up. We want this guy to be a baby face because some chicks yelling about how hot he is. So we're just gonna keep trying over and over and over and over again.
No, the bad, really bad part is in the ring when, and granted, he's had a chance to be with guys who could go, but it's not like, for the most part, he doesn't hold up his end of the deal, and there's so many redeeming qualities about Reigns. If you just changed up who he, you know, what the character is, it blows me away. Him talking about the fat fans and drinking their beer, you know, and being all moody on Monday night. Give me more of that. They want Baron Corbin to be a brooding ex-football player with attitude who feels entitled. Look at Roman Reigns and who he is and who his family is and where he played football, Division I, you know, ACC, Georgia Tech, bowl teams. Incorporate all of that into this prick and make the Usos pricks too while you're at it.
Yeah.
The Usos will never get cheered against the Bullet Club. They won't get cheered against the New Day. They won't get cheered against the Wyatts. Have them get booed too.
Yeah, but you know what? At the end of the day, you got a guy, Roman Reigns, who is being booed. And so everyone's solution is make him bad so that they'll boo him. Well, they're already booing him, so who cares? And then... So you want to turn him heel so then he'll be cheered because he's not being cheered now? Like,
no, because it would make more sense.
I'm so over it.
Well,
let's talk about the rest of the show.
About it.
Let's talk about the brand split, which is coming up.
Oh, boy.
So everybody thought that Finn Balor was going to show up last night.
Everybody.
Because Finn Balor tweeted out a picture of the Titantron. Listen, Finn Balor is going to tweet out something wacky every week from now until probably the draft. And then he's going to show up. So... He's going to show up, but it's probably not going to be at SmackDown. It's probably not going to be next Monday, probably not the Monday after. It's probably going to be in the draft. But the guy is showing up soon. I don't know. I just was amazed yesterday that, I mean, the guy has been tweeting and Instagramming stuff for months now. I mean, this is like, you may as well have Chael Sonnen talking about when this guy is going to come back. There's yeah, the same amount of credibility with Finn Balor tweeting out stuff about his appearance on Raw.
I know, but there's a lot of fans who are just purely fans out there. I don't know what the excuse would be, but I'm surprised that as many people, I guess, fell for it or really believed it. You know, back in the olden days, you know, Kane would be smacking Finn around for stealing all of his heat out of his match, because once they realized that it wasn't going to be anybody, you know, Finn, much less anybody else, they were not happy.
This person says, why would the WWE announce a mystery opponent for a title match only for it to be Kane when the fans know Finn Balor's debut is imminent and that he is in the building? Seems like a dumb idea. Well,
no, WWE will say you're speculating on the imminence.
Well, here's the deal. When I watched that segment, not for one second did I thought it was, I thought it was so obvious that they were building up that it was going to be Kane. Now, if there was a buzz in the building that Finn Balor was there, maybe Stephanie should have just said, Miz, you're going to defend the title tonight and your opponent is going to be Kane. I mean, I thought it was so patently obvious that that was what the storyline was, but apparently I was in the minority. Yes, they should have just announced Kane right then and it would have made things a lot easier, but I mean, come
on. They didn't have the
mask. If Finn Balor debuts against The Miz, I'm going to be very depressed.
Well, there's the whole thing, too. It's like I was talking about yesterday. I mean, you have some nerves when these guys come up of like, oh, God, you know, where are they going to be slotted at? I mean, you know, Maurice gets to be so enthralled by Finn's entrance, and that's, you know, they do stupid things sometimes. So I want them to have a real good plan for this guy when he comes up, and I hope that's the case. But they didn't even do the thing with Kane where, like, the mask was in the background or anything like that, which all they had to do was do that, and then people could have groaned, but at least they would have known what was going to happen.
Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Yes, Ed.
I have some notes from the Shimmer weekend that I attended live, and it was an awesome show, and I'd like to give those out right now.
Who was drinking out of the Dom Perignon bottle?
Okay, it wasn't Tia Trinidad, and I actually tweeted you, Shemp, to tell Brian that it was his favorite Scarlet Bordeaux.
See, I told you.
Wow. Yeah.
It was her bigger Shimmer debut.
Well, okay.
I would have known, but Ed is banned on my Twitter.
Yeah, she was probably the weakest worker there, but she did okay. But some of the main things that happened is they had a tag team storyline that lasted all 3 days. They had built up a match between the Kimber Bombs defending against Team Slap Happy, and they defeated Team Slap Happy by using the belt. The next tapings, the Kimber Bombs defeated Mia Yim and Kaylee Ray also by using the belt. And then the next taping, they defeated Bale Spin of Casey Spinelli and Alandra Bale, and also by belt shot. But then the other girls came out and said that a four-way was signed for the next taping. And on that taping, finally, the Kimber Bombs were defeated because the belt shot went awry, and Team Slap Happy is your new Shimmer Women's Champion.
Holy smokes. Well, Ed, thanks for the update. We got to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more on Raw, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Studio line 425-488-0525, toll free 844-411-5411. And text messages 425-780-7566. Jeannie Clark will be joining us in the next segment. Ed making friends here. This guy says, can we ban Ed from the show just for saying Scarlett Bordeaux was the weakest from this past weekend? Man.
Didn't see her in that outfit.
Also, this person here says, Daniel Bryan debuted with The Miz. I think has everyone forgotten Daniel Bryan's early days in WWE? Daniel Bryan did not debut to be a main eventer. He debuted to be a geek. And hopefully Finn Balor is not debuting to be a geek. He should debut right at the top of the card. I remember 6 months ago, I thought he should just debut and be champion immediately.
I mean, you're almost to that. At least in the mix and slotted with guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, things have changed in WWE, not to the point where they're not going to push Roman Reigns as a good guy in the face of the company. But things have changed somewhat. And Nakamura and Finn Balor, because of the entrances, because of everything that is invested in them from Triple H, if you don't bring him up and treat him at a special certain level, same thing with Nakamura, I don't know what to tell you. But then again, I don't know what to tell you when it comes to Roman Reigns.
This person says, at least Stephanie didn't tell Miz that he was going to be facing, quote, a surprise demon. Actually, she should have. That would have made things a lot easier. All right, let's go to the studio line. You're in the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hey, Jim.
I was going to bring up one thing what Ed was talking about. I believe, if I'm mistaken, I read the results. They've got a new Shimmer champion now. I believe it's Mercedes Martinez.
Wow.
Because
yes, returned after many
is,
years.
I didn't see it, but I read the results. Mercedes won her match, and then Shayna Baszler and I believe it's Nicole Savoy, the heart of a Shimmer champion. They did a attack beatdown, and she came in and I guess it's like a Money in the Bank deal or something or other, and she won the title.
Cool.
Yeah. And another thing, I got a question. I was watching Raw last night. Something really weird, I would say. Maybe y'all can spread some light on it. Is the Wyatt trying to get Apollo Crews?
Are they trying to get Apollo Crews?
Ain't that not any crew? What? No, who's the guy? Who's?
Oh, Xavier.
Xavier. Well, what? I'm sorry. I got the names mixed with Xavier.
Yes. I think that that is the idea, that they are trying to recruit Xavier, and he's very, very concerned about his buddies making light of this situation with the Wyatts.
So, are they saying they're going to break the New Day up?
Oh, yeah. They're saying they're going to destroy... The New Day will fall.
Hopefully, we get a great scenario like Xavier becomes under the spell of the Wyatt family, just like Daniel Bryan
did for a little bit. That's right, that Daniel Bryan deal.
He was talking about...
So I don't know if Xavier can grow a beard, but go ahead.
Talking about Jeannie Clark a few
Look
minutes
his hair, though.
Lord, I remember Jeannie well in the old WCCW.
That's right.
Many, many years. She was a great manager and valet and very lovely woman.
Hey, yes, Mike.
Do you remember when Consequences Creed was in TNA, when Xavier Woods was there and he had the big Carl Weathers mustache? I bet he could grow a beard.
I guess maybe so, yeah.
One other thing I was going to ask about Raw last night. What did you think of the women's match?
On Raw last night?
Yeah.
Meh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my favorites either. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I just get so tired every week of seeing Charlotte just browbeat Dana. But I know that's the storyline, but, you know.
Dana sucks. I'm sorry.
Wow.
She shouldn't be there, and it's nothing against her. She's got a look and everything, but I know with her raspy Pac and Newport's voice and everything, I mean, she's got a great look and all that stuff, but it's just, it doesn't work. Like, for whatever reason, and the fact that she's so inexperienced has got a lot to do with that, but it just, it's not helping Charlotte. It doesn't, the whole thing... No buys for me. What was buys was I like how they did Becky and Natalya, which was Becky just ran down, jumped on her, and beat her up. I like that.
There's a lot about Dana I couldn't figure out last night, but that's another matter entirely. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian, Mike. It's Danny H. Good afternoon.
Yes, what's happening?
So yesterday you guys spent almost a whole hour arguing about this Roman Reigns, how would they address it on Raw?
Yeah.
What do you think of their... We think of how they did it yesterday, like mentioning it a little bit. And
did you hear the beginning of the show? We talked about it for like 10 minutes.
No. But my question is, them thinking using Seth Rollins, try to make him a bigger babyface is pretty...
we talked about that.
They're not on the ball. Oh, my gosh. Well,
what do you think
the next few weeks? I didn't do the same thing for the next 3 weeks, so this will be the only week they don't mention him until he comes back on Sunday, whatever, the pay-per-view day.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, that was the whole point of yesterday's show. Listen, everybody, as far as arguing, I mean, somebody was like, Brian, why did you waste a whole hour without waiting to see if they would do it? You're forgetting the fact that they didn't mention anything on SmackDown. Roman Reigns got suspended last Tuesday. So, the very first show afterwards was Thursday's SmackDown. So, why didn't they mention it on SmackDown? The fact that they did not mention it on SmackDown meant it was a talking point. It's not like he got suspended on Tuesday and we spent a whole hour Wednesday arguing about whether or not they were going to mention it on TV. We gave them a television show. Which, by the way, it's another matter entirely, not even having to do with Roman Reigns. But when I was talking yesterday, near the end of the show, and I said, you know what? This would not be the first time that something happened in the beginning of the week, like on Raw, for example, and they made no mention of it whatsoever on SmackDown, and they waited until Raw to continue the angle. This would not be the first time. I mentioned that yesterday on the show, and the whole reason that we are having a draft and a brand split and SmackDown moving to Tuesday and all of this rigmarole is because nobody watches SmackDown. And you want to know why? Because of stuff like this. Roman Reigns gets suspended, and they don't even acknowledge it. It's like it never even happened on SmackDown. Because SmackDown is a completely pointless show. Yes, I know it's good in most weeks. I know Mauro Ranallo's good. I know that the matches are fine. But why would anybody, if you already are watching 3 hours of Raw and you're almost getting your fill of wrestling, why would you add SmackDown to that if they so don't care about it at all? And I realize the argument that, well, Brian, it's a lame duck show. Why would we bother doing anything for SmackDown now when it's just going to move to Tuesdays and then it's going to take off? Well, because maybe less and less people are watching that show and care about it by the week. If I knew that I was going to move SmackDown to Tuesdays and I was going to make, I was going to try to make it an A show again, why would I give up on it for a month prior to that move being made? That doesn't make one bit of sense to me, but that's what they're doing. So go for it, everybody. We'll see how SmackDown does when it moves to Tuesdays. I'm sure it'll start out hot, but this is not making me feel good about the future of SmackDown and this brand extension.
It doesn't, and we'll have to see how they load it up and everything. But the reality is they could load it up and they could shine it up and it could be better than Raw. They could put more on there and they could crack more news on there and whatever it's going to be. They could do all of that. It's can they consistently do that for a month up until the SummerSlam? Can they do it till Survivor Series? They haven't ever really proven that they can. They just haven't, and they have messed around with it, and they get worried about Raw and this and that, and they're never in for anything long term. So we'll have to see. Are the faces different this time? Yes. Is some of the creative in some ways different this time? Yes. Does Triple H have a bigger influence because of the guys who will be coming up from NXT? Yes. We all have to see that, how it works in practice. Anything we do right now is just speculation and going off of past history, of which theirs isn't very good.
Person here says, we had Johnny Ace and Teddy Long show up in past weeks, but nobody this week. Do you expect Eric Bischoff, the laptop GM, or anybody else to make an appearance leading up to the draft? I'm shocked we haven't seen the laptop or Vicky Guerrero yet.
Yeah.
I don't know about Eric.
The laptop.
I do expect that we'll... Hey, they got plenty of time for comedy, so... Let's go to this toll-free line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is John from Philly.
Hey, John. What's up?
Hey, a couple weeks ago, I was I ranted and raved about Seth Rollins and him being a heel, and you brought up the fact that as a booker, that you know Vince cannot basically go with what the fans want.
I didn't say that. I said you can't just switch everybody babyface heel based on whether they're getting cheered or booed.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand that, but you know. You know, one of the best, I feel like, well, one of the best stories that they've had in the past couple of years was the Daniel Bryan chase. But as I've come to think about it over the past couple of years, I'm wondering if that did more harm than good. And my example is, I don't know if you've heard of intermittent behavior in reinforcement at all.
Sure. It's my major in college.
Basically, what it says is the fact that, you know, if you have a screaming child at Walmart who wants a toy, and you don't give in, and all of a sudden they're on the floor screaming and crying, you buy the toy. The next time you go to the Walmart, not only are they going to scream and cry, they're going to do something. They're going to have an even worse temper tantrum.
Sure.
Now,
negative reinforcement.
So, all right, my point going back to this is, the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania story, the whole idea of it wasn't so much, yeah, it was a little bit about Daniel Bryan, but it was about how the fans pushed Daniel Bryan to do the impossible.
I hate to cut you off, but we're totally out of time, but I invite you to call back tomorrow and continue this. I think you're on the right track. We'll talk about this more later. Got to head to a break. Jeannie Clark after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And no, Jeannie Clark will try to reschedule. But John, who I cut off before the break, if you want to call back and continue your conversation, now is your chance. Phone lines are open, everybody. 425-488-0525, toll-free 844-411-5411. And text messages, 425-780-7566. Normally, you're only allowed one call per day, but I will give an exception to John since I had to cut him off, and now we do not have a guest. WWE is heading to Japan, and we've got the lineups for the 2 days. If you're in Japan, we have Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. Triple threat for the WWE title, John Cena versus AJ Styles. This is the July 1st show. Usos versus Gallows and Anderson versus Vaudevillains versus New Day for the tag titles, four-way. Shinsuke Nakamura against Chris Jericho. Natalya versus Charlotte for the women's title. Ziggler versus Curtis Axel. Where was Ziggler last night? Titus O'Neil versus Baron Corbin. and Becky Lynch versus Asuka for the NXT Women's title. July 2nd, Jericho, Rollins, and Ambrose for the title, Cena versus AJ, Vaudevillains versus New Day, Usos versus Gallows and Anderson, Nakamura versus Kevin Owens, Becky versus Charlotte, Ziggler versus Baron Corbin, Titus O'Neil versus Curtis Axel, and Natalya versus Asuka for the women's title. So it looks like all of the four ways the first night, then the singles match is the second night, and sounds like a pretty fun lineup.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? So it's too bad that, I mean, last year at this time, and it's because Brock Lesnar was on the shows, we had the Beast from the East shows. I wish they would, you know, I don't know what the deal is going to be with these, but I hope they do some sort of compilation of matches and put it up in some sort of form on the website. I don't know how that works or if that's what the plan is going to be and put it up on the network, but I hope that they do.
Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian. It's Bryce from Pure.
Yes, Bryce.
Okay, I got a couple questions. One go wrestling history question I was just curious about. But my first thing is, did you notice last night, Stephanie and Jericho, they were referring to the WWE World Heavyweight title as just the WWE title? And I was just wondering if you think that means that they're hinting that there's for sure two titles coming back.
Oh, that's absolutely what's happening. There's going to be two titles. There's going to be a Raw title and a SmackDown title.
And what do you think they're going to call the SmackDown, the heavyweight title again? Because I think that's, I don't know.
Yeah, probably the WWE Championship and the World Championship. They don't have a lot of ideas, clearly, so I'm sure we're just going to go back to whatever they had at the last brand split.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And my history question was, back in 2001, or yeah, it would have been 2001, when you guys left, was it IATA?
IATA.
Yeah, IATA.
We didn't leave. They went out of business.
Yeah, that's happened. But I was just curious of how long were you guys off the air until 2002?
How long were we off the air?
Yeah, was there no Wrestling Observer Live or no?
We weren't off the air very long because we very quickly went from IATA to Sports Byline USA. It wasn't a lot of time.
No, and Dave wasn't he at the studio every week too?
Yeah, he would drive to and from the studio.
Okay. I was just curious on that because I just read online that you guys left and I didn't know when you guys came back.
Yeah, I don't remember. It seems like it was just a couple of months, actually, before we ended up on Byline.
And then a whole bunch of time went by, and then it really didn't start to pick up again until I came along, and we really brought this thing into the new era that it's in now.
That's right. You know what brought into the new era, ironically, was... I don't want to talk too much about it, but...
No, do you want to?
And no. There was a fella who decided that he wanted to get us kicked off the air because we were doing the show via telephone. And so I solved that problem by building a studio here, and the rest is history.
And he did it, went about it in such a way where he basically showed his rear end, and the proof remains that we're here and he's not, and that worked out well.
That's right. I was going to just drive to the studios every day, but the 18 hours was kind of a deal breaker, so I decided to build something here instead.
Yes, and your golden castle that you have up there, the big house on the hill where you look down upon the rest of us with disdain.
Actually, quite frankly, I'm at the bottom of the hill here, but that's okay. Tucked away into the corner.
Oh, that's right, because you have all your golden surveillance buried high up into the mountains.
This person here says...
You're also going to lock up your daughter, I'm sure, one day.
Too late. Will Money in the Bank be a joint show next year? I don't suspect they'll do two of the same show in 1 month. Well, we may not have a briefcase on both shows. I'm not sure what they're going to do because the schedule that we got was this year's schedule based on what's going to happen after the draft. So we only know what's going on from now until December, and we'll see what they end up doing next year. They could always put a Money in the Bank ladder match as a pay-per-view and another one on WrestleMania and have one brand do it at WrestleMania, the other brand do it as a separate pay-per-view. There's a lot of ways they can do it, so we shall see.
Money in the safety deposit box where they have to fight and get to a box on a pole in the corner or something like that. That's what I hope also doesn't happen with the fact that they're going to have so many special events / pay-per-views is we... I'm not saying it turns into Memphis because Memphis was awesome a lot of the times, but I hope we don't get a lot of goofiness or really stupid things, at least for the guys at the top of the show.
This person says, Kurt is starting an amateur wrestling school, that being Kurt Angle, and he sent me a link. It's on Kurt Angle's Twitter right here. And it says, the time is coming. Angle, actually, there's a link to the Instagram. Angle Elite Wrestling Club will soon be open for business. Parents of youth wrestlers get ready for top-notch instruction from the most knowledgeable staff around. So apparently it is amateur wrestling. He's not doing a professional wrestling school. Angle Wrestling School Elite Wrestling is coming soon. That looks like what Kurt was talking about when he said he was not going to be in wrestling for long. He also, by the way, did another interview after the whole thing came out when WWE announced he was not returning, where he said that he'd had another talk with Triple H. It was confidential. And he expected, he kind of hinted he was coming back to WWE, just not in the draft, and maybe it would be next year. So it looks like the door is not closed, according to Kurt. And I do know, I can tell you, that there are people in WWE who don't buy this story in the sense that they think he will be at the draft. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be at the draft, so I'm just telling you that it's, and this may not be anything, because there's all sorts of things that all sorts of people always say, so maybe he's coming in, maybe he's not. We'll see.
I just want to reiterate, too, and I know he has had problems in the past, but if everything is all clear with Kurt Angle, I believe, because this is Jim Ross, and I know Triple H has got guys, but Jerry Briscoe and guys are getting older. And Kurt Angle's link to the wrestling community, being so close to Penn State, the rich earth that is, you know, for wrestlers, that is Western Pennsylvania and that part of the country. I mean, a liaison into the amateur ranks, I believe, is something that is a great role that Kurt Angle could help serve with WWE, and WWE would get to keep him at arm's length. And I know everybody wants to see him back with American Alpha. I would too. But I think him playing any role as far as being some sort of bridge between getting good amateurs and having that type of thing where Kurt can talk to these guys, if everything is okay with him, about a lot about life and a lot about, you know, making the wrong decisions and surviving the wrong decisions and coming back from these things. And I think he could play such a valuable role doing that and in those types of positions, much more than he could possibly be on the main roster with American Alpha. As great as it would be for a second, you're going to have people that will go, we saw this with Team Angle already. And granted, I believe in these two guys a lot differently than I believe in Haas and Benjamin. But, you know, Kurt Angle can't be there forever. You know, American Alpha can be there for 10 years. Kurt's not going to be. Let's utilize Kurt in a different way.
This person says that John's argument from earlier is flawed. The kid throwing the tantrum wants something their parents would have to buy for them. In the case of WWE crowds, the people throwing the tantrum are the ones spending the money. So he's saying it would be like mom falling on the floor and screaming and freaking out.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. The whole point of wrestling was you want to give, it's like selling anything in a lot of ways. You want to give people what they want, but keep them coming back for more. You know, the old carny thing, and it's not a negative connotation. You know, do you see it at the boardwalk, or you see it in places with fairs and things like that? You know, it's just, you know, you're selling a little bit of hope. You're selling a show. And if you give people the whole show, I mean, if you got that with a soap opera, why would the same soap operas, I mean, we've had the same ones on for 40 years or 30 years, whatever it's been. They last because that's how it works. And that's how you keep people enthralled. You give them a little bit. When it's time to give them what they want, you give it to them. But you also have stuff coming up in the back end where you have them intrigued and tied into these other stories. I just, you cannot give everybody everything that they want. You truly can't.
Hey, this is a hell of an analogy here. SmackDown has been treated like WCW Saturday Night was during the height of Nitro. That's right. You know what happened at WCW Saturday Night? Canceled, because people stopped watching it.
Yeah. Well, except when Jimmy Hart was booking it and Hacksaw Duggan pulled the TV title out of the trash can and Regal was there at the end. Actually, it wasn't Regal. Who was it? They actually had some pretty good matches there for a very short period of time, but it was very sad. One of the shows that built cable TV and built satellite TV ended up going out in the way that it did.
This person here says, you nailed it on SmackDown. No one watches because it's not important. Anything new that happens, like the Darren Young videos, gets recapped or shown on Raw anyways. That's right.
Exactly.
But listen, I do think that it's very important that if something big happens on SmackDown, you do recap it on Raw and vice versa. And realistically, I mean, a brand extension should really help, because if you do it right, then the only place you'll be able to see John Cena is on SmackDown. You won't see John Cena wrestling on Raw. You won't see John Cena doing interviews or anything like that on Raw. You could only see it on SmackDown, and a number of other guys as well. Big fan of Finn Balor, he's on SmackDown. Big fan of Nakamura, he's on Raw. If you do it right, this should really help. My whole point is, if that's your intention, why would you totally give up on the show for the period leading up to that big switch? Why not try? SmackDown should be like an exciting show every week. Dude, here's my analogy, my comparison. If you've been listening to the Brian and Vinny show on Sunday nights, we have been recapping the NWA World Championship Wrestling show from 1986. And let me tell you something. For the last 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, they have been building up the Great American Bash Tour 1986. They talk about it on every show. They interview the guys. I am so excited for the 1986 Great American Bash, which took place when I was 11. It's been over for 30 years. But they're doing such a great job building up. Why on SmackDown is it a nothing show, as we've got the WWE draft coming up in the middle of July? Why haven't they been spending every week on that show building this up as the biggest thing? Have John Cena on the show talking about the draft. Have all of these guys there, build it up into something big. Maybe even, I mean, there's a million things you could do to make people want to watch SmackDown and get excited for that draft. Instead, it's main event, basically. It's WCW Saturday Night at the height of Nitro. It's mind-boggling to me.
I was so
excited. You know what this is called? It's a wrestling promotion. You know why it's called a promotion? Because it's about promoting your show, which they're not doing.
You know who did do that, though? Jim Crocker Promotions did it on Channel 50 and Channel 54 and Channel 56 in the D.C. area, so much so that I went to RFK Stadium on July 3rd, 86, because I had to see me some Bash.
Can you imagine if NWA was like, you know what, let's not promote the Bash. Let's wait till the Bash comes, and then we'll promote it.
They did that with the Clash 4, and it died.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Looks like what happened with Jeannie Clark is that she is in London, and we had the time difference a little bit messed up, so she was waiting for a call an hour before the show. So we're going to rebook, I believe, for next Tuesday. And Mike and I are going to get the whole book read and get her on the show and talk about it. So if you want to check it out, it is available at Amazon.com. There's a link on the front page in the area for this show. So go up there and check that out. And we are out of time for today. But tomorrow we will be back. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be taking your phone calls, emails, text messages, the whole nine yards. We have brand new Observer Radio on the show. And if you're a fan of the Monday Night Wars, the Brian and Vinny and Craig show is coming up tonight. We'll be talking about Raw and Nitro from 19 years ago this week, mid-1997. What an exciting time for professional wrestling. That's coming up tonight, the Brian and Vinny and Craig show. And we've got a Filthy Tom Lawler show yesterday. All of you children of the 80s will love Tom's constant references to stuff such as Space Ghost, Brack. Check that out on the front page as well. New Observers. All sorts of great stuff. Never a better time to sign up to become a subscriber than right now. All of the new shows, commercial-free replays of this program, exclusive members-only shows, newsletters. That is WrestlingObserver.com. Check it out, everybody. Sign up today. You will not regret it. 8,000 shows in the archives. If you love radio, I don't even know how long it would take to listen to 8,000 shows, but I would bet you never can. But they're all there for you if you want to check them out. And we are out of time. I want to thank Mike, as always, all of the folks at Sports Byline USA, callers and listeners. We will talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.